Song of Solomon this morning, chapter 1 and verse 4 is where we're going to begin. Last week we spoke about the Song of Solomon, and we looked at the type of Christ, and we looked at Christ is mentioned as Solomon is a type of Christ in the book of Song of Solomon. Is that in the Old Testament, folks? Surely I can find it this morning. Let your fingers do the walking, they used to say. There it is. And Solomon is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Solomon means peaceable. And if there's no one, if we understand that the name Solomon means peaceable, we also know that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, don't we? And that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we left, or we should have, gone from a life of turmoil and heartache and sorrow and trouble into a life of peace in God our Father. Not only we made peace within, but peace towards God, right? We were an enmity with God. We were an enemy of God when we didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we have been brought into peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at, continue on. We have the Beloved here. For those that weren't here last week, we have the Beloved, or the Shulamite woman. The Song of Solomon speaks about her. And then we have Solomon. There's a type of the Shulamite woman is a type of every believer who has ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Solomon is a type of Christ. We're looking at that comparison only in these couple of weeks. We're not going into other comparisons. There's other comparisons there. There's the comparison of God to the Jewish people. There's the comparison of what we can learn about the right type of marriage. We can learn that. But we're not looking at those things. We're just, the next couple of weeks, we're going to make the application with the Lord Jesus Christ and His Beloved. And I want you to understand, if you've ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are His Beloved. And we need to understand that. We're going to look at the next thought. We saw last week the divine kiss. Every person is brought to a decision where they must place upon the Lord Jesus Christ the divine kiss of faith. Christ has placed upon those who have trusted in Him the divine kiss of salvation through the finished work that He completed on the cross of Calvary. We saw that last week in verses 1 and 2. Let's look in verse 3 and 4 now this morning. Because of the savor of all thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me. Notice this, please. We're going to talk about this verse this morning. The drawing king. Still the Beloved speaking. She's saying, draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? We notice here the second stanza of this song, the Song of Solomon's, the Song of Divine Loves, it can be called. We notice the second stanza, and I've called the second stanza the drawing king. Look in verse 4 again. It says, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. Those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we understand the sacrifice of salvation came once and for all. We understand that, right? Do you understand that when Christ tasted death for every man, the Bible tells us also in the book of Hebrews that when that death was paid for, that when He had completed the work by Himself, purged our sins, He sat down, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. And He's sitting there on the right hand of the Father and waiting, expecting, Scripture tells us, until His enemies, until God the Father says, it's time to return for your children. And then He's going to cast that judgment upon this earth. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. We understand that salvation's work was complete when Christ completed it. There's nothing else we can do but only believe. We can only trust the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. We cannot keep ourselves saved. We can't walk in a certain standard or pattern, follow me closely, to keep ourselves saved. We can't do it. Now, we behave ourselves as Christians not to be saved, but because we are saved, right? We understand that. We understand that because Christ has saved us, we do not continually need to be born and born and born and born into the family of God. It comes one time. We're only born into this world, like the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Ye must be born again. Those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we're born one time. We don't have to go back and have rebirth as a Christian. After we've sinned, we have to ask the Lord to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from our sin. But once we've done that, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter immediately into eternal life. When we have trusted Christ, we have been given eternal life, and the Scripture tells us that when we've been given eternal life, because we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into eternal life, and we shall never perish. We can't lose our salvation, beloved. Thank God that He's strong enough to do the work for us, that we don't have to do anything. In fact, in Hebrews, if you continue to read through the book of Hebrews, you'll come to a passage. I think it's in either chapter 4, chapter 6, somewhere in that area. You'll have to follow up because I'm trying to, off of memory, remember exactly where it's at. But we are told as God's children to labor, because He's talking to the Hebrew Christians, to labor to enter into rest. We're to learn what it is to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sort of an outset of what's happening here. The beloved here in Song of Solomon, there's been salvation. There's a picture of salvation. Now we're going to the next picture, and it's the drawing king. The drawing king. Draw me, she says. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. For each believer who's trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, we need to understand, number one, that we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's what Scripture tells us. The beloved of our song here of divine loves is now looking for even deeper intimacies than just a kiss. Just the kiss of salvation that we looked at that time. She says now in verse 4, she says, draw me. The beloved is speaking specifically. The king, she says, look here in the same verse. We will draw me, we will run after me. The king hath brought me into his chamber. This is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for each of his children. This is the picture of the drawing king. What do we need to learn as God's children from this drawing king this morning? Well, let's look at a few things. First, we should consider the name of the drawing king. The name of the drawing king. Look at verse 3 with me here in the same chapter. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy what class? Thy name is as an ointment poured forth. We see the name of the drawing king. This descriptive language, what's the meaning of this vivid statement that we read here in verse 3? What can we learn of this drawing king from the heart cries of the beloved as she says, draw me because of the savor of thy good ointments? She speaks of his sweet savor. She speaks of his name being poured forth. What can be considered in the meaning of this for us today as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and we, individual believers, his beloved? You know, sometimes she recognizes, first of all, his name as ointment poured forth. Look at that. She says, an ointment of savor. Verse 3, because of the savor of thy good name. A reunion with a friend that you've known in the past. Sometimes it's sweet, sometimes it's bitter. I told you last week about my friend named Steve that I've met with, and we have fellowship around the Lord, and we're able to have good fellowship between him and I around the things of the Lord because he walks with the Lord, and I do my best to walk with the Lord, and as we fellowship one another, there's a sweet friendship that's there the Lord allows. I also have other friends that I've caught up with over the years who don't believe that. In fact, their lives have become sour. Their lives have become heartaches. Their lives have become bitter because of things that they've done or because of decisions that they've made. and you try to have that same type of fellowship or that the same type of fellowship with them, and there's something that's missing there. You may send a note and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," or you may send them an encouragement from Scripture, and there's like a silence, or there's something there that's not there with the friends who trust the Lord and love the Lord. And you think, wow, what happened to the life that they don't understand that Jesus Christ is as an ointment poured forth? And this beloved here, she understands now where her life was. We talked about that last week. In verse 6 here, she says, "Look not upon me because I'm black." Remember, she says, my brothers or my mother's children sent me out in the field, just like sin sends the lost person out into this world, and it toils us and bears us down and beats upon us, and sin tears the life down. She's now out of that, and she's into a part now where she says, "Oh, he's so sweet. He's so sweet, and I want him to draw me." Now she's saying, "Draw me," in verse 4. Now, beloved, there's an application. I want you to listen carefully, and I hope that your heart grasps what's happening here. Jesus Christ, for the life that's redeemed, ought to be to us an ointment poured forth. He ought to be to you an ointment poured forth. He ought to be to you sweet. I'm reminded of the sweet psalmist David in Psalm chapter 45, verse 6 and 8. He says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee." Listen to this. "With the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made these glad." Oh, how sufficient is God's word in his descriptiveness of the Savior, isn't it? Oh, how sweet he is. Oh, how wonderful is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to those who have been redeemed from the heartache of sin. And they now get to a point in their life where they've grown enough to say, "I need to be closer. Draw me. Draw me." Song of Solomon, we talked about, she's saying, "I've toiled." She says, "Draw me." She says, "Thy Savior is sweet." You know what gets me about this passage of Scripture? When I begin to think about the descriptive languages, just because of the Savior, thy good ointment is, it's amazing to me. And I understand that there's heartache that comes in the Christian life. And there's periods of time in the Christian life where the heartache may get us, emotion may get us for a time, but emotion doesn't rule us forever. Because we're made emotional beings, aren't we? God's made us, and God's given to us mind, emotion, and will. He's given those things, and we're to use them properly in the proper manner. But what I don't understand is the Christian life, or the name of the Christian, or the Christian who claims the name of Christ, and they want to be drawn into Christ, but their lives are sour lives. You ever met anybody that's just a sour puss? I mean, all the time. You come to the Lord, you're having a great Lord's day, the sun's shining, it's 75 degrees, zero humidity, the buses are coming in, they're full, the kids are all respectful, everything's going wonderful on Sunday morning, and you meet Brother Chuck, Brother Sourpuss. "How you doing, Brother Sourpuss?" "Well, I've seen better days." "Wow. I wish I could have stepped back with you. Tell me about that day." And you try to get him brought up, but everything he has to say, or everything Mrs. Sourpuss has to say, is just, it's just terrible. It's just, "Oh, poor old me." Igor Christ, is it Igor? Eeyore. Eeyore Christ. "Well, You know, the ones that are brought to Christ, they just want they understand the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, this is so important. They understand the personhood of the Lord Jesus Christ so much that it makes them sweet. Do you realize who he is? I'm convicted because I'll go through life and I go through the work day, and if I'm not careful, I'm saying, "You know what? I'm becoming a sour Christian. I got to stop." Something like, I get around people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and sometimes I have to stop myself and say, "I can't do this. I can't allow their attitudes to rub off on me, because I'm supposed to reflect." And I'm guilty sometimes, beloved. And I have to check myself and say, "Okay, I can't do this. She's saying here that his ointment is an ointment of a sweet Savior. And we need to have a revisit. We've heard Pastor speak in the last couple times about revival again. And I believe revival will come again when we understand the fullness of Christ. We understand the sweetness of Christ. And we have a realization again, beloved, of who He is. And we recognize Him for who He is. And we allow His sweetness to reflect through our lives. And our lives will become sweet. I'm not talking about sweetness like light in the loafers. I'm talking about men who love the Lord, who know how to love the Lord, who knew how to be men, but still they know what it is to love the unlovely. Amen. Through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this anointment of sweet savor, but she also recognizes His name not only as an ointment of sweet savor, but an ointment of streaming. Look at the verse here. She says, an ointment of streaming. She says in this text, thy name is as a name, because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment. Watch the next two words, class. Poured forth. How splendid this thought. Poured forth, she says. Friend, what is your need today? He's drawing His children to Himself. He desires to draw His children to Himself. And drawing His children to Himself, He knows that there's need. But she says here and recognizes here, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. In other words, there's enough supply. You know what I'm thankful of this morning, beloved? I'm thankful this morning there's enough supply of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sweetness and the sweetness of His name poured forth for all of us. Every single one of us, we can find the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's enough for all of us. Now, we wonder sometimes, right, when we meet Mr. and Mrs. Sourpuss on Sunday morning, well, Lord, can you meet their need? He can. And He can meet not just my need, He can meet your need. And that's why we have prayer requests and we say, well, I'm going to pray for that dear one that's looking for a place to live. Or I'm going to pray for this lost one. I'm going to pray for this health need. I'm going to pray for this son and this daughter. We know what? We can come to the Lord boldly because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the sweetness of His name. Oh, that we would fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ again and understand that His name is as an ointment of sweet savor. His name, she says, is an ointment of streaming. It's sufficient. All the sufficiency that the Christian needs is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? Are you awake this morning? Oh, beloved, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just saying with all of my heart, do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet the need? He can meet your need. Now, let's look at the next thing. She says, not only is He an ointment of sweet savor, He's an ointment of streaming. She says, poured forth. She says, He's an ointment to be spoken. Look in the same verse there. She says, as an ointment poured forth. Look at the word forth. That's forthgoing. That's speaking. She's saying, your name is an ointment to be, not only does it meet my needs, but it can meet the needs of other lives. And when the Christian who falls in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, he can begin to go walking through his day. The Lord's taking care of all of his sufficiency, every need he has. And you know what? He'll say, thy name is an ointment poured forth. It's not enough just for us to receive Christ for ourselves. We have to begin to then pour forth His name. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to every unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. May God grant His children boldness when they realize the sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. It'll become more natural to you that way. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you, and we should go, if we don't feel like going soul winning, or if we don't feel like talking to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, we should go anyway, right? Now, that's part of our duty. But you know what? It's so much sweeter when we've fallen in love with the Lord again, and He's fallen in love with us, and He's sweet to us, and we can go forth. And you know what? It's just as natural as rain on a hot day when you go and say, hey, guess what? Jesus loves you. He loved me. Let me tell you about what He did for me. And He fills you with that sweetness of who He is. And you're not Mr. Sourpuss or Mrs. Sourpuss. And you can go through life and say, you know what? Not only was He sweet to me and here's what He's done for me, but His life has poured out on me. And He's met every need I have. Not every want I have. He's met every need I have. And let me tell you what, He gave me salvation. And he'll take your life, and it may be battered, and it may be heart full of heartache, it may be full of sorrow, it may be full of all kinds of unimaginable things to you this morning. But Jesus Christ loved me, he loves you too. And all you have to do is trust in his finished work. He's already done it for you. And oh, how sweet and how natural and how easy sharing the word of God becomes when we fall in love with the Savior in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. By thee my prayers acceptance gain, although with sin defiled, Satan accuses me in vain, and I am owned a child. Jesus, my shepherd, brother, and friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart, and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee, listen carefully, as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Oh, beloved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is sweet. And the beloved here in the passage of Scripture, she's talking about the drawing king, and she begins to talk about the drawing king by talking about the name of the drawing king. Not only does she talk about the name of the drawing king, she talks about the nearness of the drawing king. Look here at verse 4 with me. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king, notice carefully, hath brought me into his chambers. Oh, the nearness. We will remember thy love, it says a little bit further down. More than wine, the upright love thee. Oh, the nearness of the drawing king. It comes exactly because he is the drawing one. Notice your statement, the king hath brought me into his chambers. I've had great privilege as a young man growing up. I've had, and I don't mean it to brag, I mean it to thank the Lord when I'm already say what I've said. And I think some of the people around here will understand this. Being raised in a preacher's home is a high and holy privilege. I had a father who brought many men into his churches that he's planted churches as well as pastored churches. And the longest period of time that he actually pastored church was about 7 years in Maryland. We saw a little church grow from about 96 to the Lord blessed it and it grew to some degree. And Dad would have mighty men of God come in. He had Dr. Lee Robertson come in and preach for him. He had Dr. Clarence Sexton. He had different men of God that would come in. He'd have different ones. But one of my favorite men that would come in was Dr. Ron Garris. I don't know if you've heard Dr. Ron Garris, but he's part of the Rock of Ages prison ministry, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now. But every year they'd have Dr. Ron Garris come in, and we'd have him in our home, and he'd sit across from us, and he knew us all by name. Four boys there. My sister had gone earlier and gone to heaven when she was about 8, but there was me and my brother Paul and Jonathan. Cal was just a little bitty thing, but he knew us by name. And he'd talk to us boys, and he'd make us boys feel important. And Miss Judy, I think it was his wife, Brother Ron and Miss Judy, it was his wife, and they'd come together sometimes and they'd just talk to us and we'd laugh around. And Brother Ron Garris had a way about him with us that was just lovely. And he liked us boys, and the Lord knitted our hearts to Brother Ron Garris. Well, one time Brother Ron was coming through, we lived right outside the Washington, D.C. area. And one of the sweetest memories to me of a preacher is when I was able, Dad said, well, Brother Ron wants, Todd, I was driving age at the time. Dr. Ron wants to go downtown. He wants to go see the Smithsonian Institute. He wants to go to the Museum of History. And I got to go with Dr. Ron Garris, and I got to take him. He'd say, he was in the Korean War, I believe it was, and he was on one of those aircraft carriers, and he had a certain job. And we walked in the Smithsonian Institute at the time, in the Museum of History. There was a replica of a battle of that aircraft carrier that he was on. He talked sort of funny. He said, now, Todd, he said like that. He said, Todd, he said, that's me right there. And he pointed at a color, and it had different color figures on this model of that aircraft carrier. He said, that's me right there, and here's what I did. And he talked to me like Dr. Ron would talk to you. And I spent that whole day with him, and he'd walk around and say, oh, I remember this, and my dad told me about this, and I enjoyed that nearness to Dr. Ron Garris. Now, he's not the Lord, is he? But you know what? I enjoyed that nearness with Dr. Ron Garris. It's one of my favorite memories as a young man is think about that day that I got to spend with Dr. Garris. And he got to talk to me, and I got to talk with him. There was a nearness there that not everyone was privileged to. And it's only the Lord's goodness that allowed me that privilege. But guess what? With the Lord Jesus Christ, he has this great desire to draw us all near. He has this great desire to bring us all into closeness with him. And it's fully your right to draw to him. And he's made himself fully available to his nearness. Have you drawn? And I'm convicted, beloved, because I go through life and I go through the circumstances of life and I know fully who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And she's saying here, he's drawing me. The name of the drawing here, but not also that, the nearness of the drawing king. It's the king who's drawn her. It's the King of Kings who sometimes through the days, it's the Lord of Lords who sometimes through the day in our busyness, in our getting away from God, he's simply drawing. He said, hey, wait a minute. You're in all this busyness and you've forgotten to let me draw you near to me. You need me to draw you near. And how, beloved, I'm convicted like Christ speaking to that church in Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. When he begins to say, oh, you've forgotten some things. I wish you were hot, but you're cold. And he says, you're not where you need to be. You're not where you were before. Oh, that you would just hear my voice and listen to my knock. And if you would just open that door, I'll come in and sup with you. And you can sup with me and there can be sweet fellowship like God has designed there to be fellowship. Oh, beloved, the name of the drawing king, the nearness of the drawing king. Not only that, is there's the nectar of the drawing king. She's mentioning the nectar of the drawing king. Look here again, she says in verse 4, draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. This nectar of the drawing king is a nectar of rejoicing. Look at her statement again. Draw me, she says. The king hath brought me. She says, the upright, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. You know, we talked about that old sourpuss Christian. You know what? The Christian life who's a rejoicing Christian is an attractive Christian to one who doesn't know what it is to rejoice. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? She's simply saying, man, if the Lord, you're just so good and I love you so much and I want to be what you have me to be. And not only is your name drawing me, not only is your nearness brought me into thee, but she says, there's a nectar to thee in the closeness with thee that I'm loving. And she says, thy name, she says, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love. This is a rejoicing. This is a nectar of rejoicing. But she says also, this is a nectar of remembering. You know what? Sometimes when we deal with children, we be very careful when we deal with them. Very careful when you deal with a child about Christ. But when you deal with them, you know a child needs to understand that all sin is exceeding sinful. Even as a child, when both of my children were brought to the Lord at a very young age. But when they do something wrong, and I begin to deal with them, I take them to the Word of God, and I said, now let's look at what you've done in the light of who Jesus Christ is. Because all of your sin, there's no such thing as one little white lie with a child. All sin is exceedingly sinful. And we have to be brought, we have to bring my children to say, hey, wait a minute here. I want you to understand that in dealing with you, that you have to remember that your sin separates you from God. Once you remember that, the beloved here doesn't have to remember that as much as she had to be reminded as we who have done things that we're ashamed of before we were saved. If we'll just remember how good God was to us when he lifted our feet out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You just remember. You ought to get excited about the Lord. I'll excite you who the Lord is. Whoever God is, whatever kind of personality God's made you, you ought to be a happy sanguine if you're a sanguine because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now, she's saying here, remember. I'm going to tell you this story and we'll be done. We just got a few more minutes. How often we forget the Lord. How often we forget His goodness to us. It's like a husband one day, his wife called him after he left to work, and she called him on the cell phone. He's headed to work. He already left the door, giving her a kiss on the cheek. Said, "I see you, baby. Love you." He left out and went. And she called and said, "Hey, do you remember what today is?" And panic struck him. "Yeah, I remember. Ah, it's a great day, isn't it? Bye, babe. See you later." Hangs up the phone. What in the world is today? He begins to think and wonder. I don't know. But if it's our anniversary and I forgot, I'm a dead man. It's probably our anniversary. I don't want to forget that. So he goes out and he says, "Okay, I'm going to do something really nice for her." So he calls the fancy restaurant. He says, "I want a reservation, please." And he gives his name. He says, "That's probably not going to be enough dinner, because this is our 20th, I think." So he says, "Okay, I'm going to swing by the jewelry store." He goes to the jewelry store, picks the nicest pearl necklace he could find. That's probably not enough either. He knew her size. He goes by the dress store, picks her a real nice dress up, and sends it back to the house. He says, "Send it now. Send it now. It's a special day." He gets home. He calls her when he's getting ready to get off. "Hey, I'm coming to get you, babe. We're going to go out for the special day that we talked about today." Woo! She's all gussied up and fancied up. When he gets there, he gets her in the car, puts her there, takes her there, and takes her to the nicest dinner, the nicest restaurant in town. She has that beautiful string of pearls on, that beautiful dress. They get done eating, and she said, "Honey," she said, "I want to tell you something. This has really been special." She says, "This is the most special Groundhog Day I've ever had in my life." What was his problem? He had forgotten, hadn't he? Who the Lord? He had forgotten what today was. But how often we forget who the Lord is, right? We forget Him, and we run away from Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. May I say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, for those He saves, He wants to draw near. But it's a two-way street. Draw nigh unto God, and He will what? Draw nigh to you. May the Lord help us this morning with this reminder of the nearness of the drawing King. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You for Thy goodness. Thank You for Thy sweetness. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, that we have that full access by faith, through grace, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to draw unto Thee. Help us to be reminded, as we have to be reminded often in our feet of clay, that whatever our need, You're sufficient to meet it. Whatever the source of supply we need, You willing to pour it forth if we'll only draw nigh unto Thee. We'll be careful to praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Next week, if you have a lost a friend who's recently been saved, the Lord put on my heart just to go through a list of things, a term of things that may be helpful for a new Christian. For instance, we understand the word propitiation, don't we, if we've been saved for some time? You know, a new Christian may not know that. Or maybe they've asked you questions about biblical terms that we understand that they don't understand, that we could just take and say, "Hey, here's what this means. Here's a verse in the Bible." It's just very helpful. It's all I want to do, but I think that's what the Lord wants us to do. And maybe we can help a new Christian or help someone who has questions. So next week, if you have someone who's a new Christian, invite them along to Sunday school with you. It's a good way to get them started in Sunday school. So praise the Lord. Thank you for listening this morning, folks.